Blog Talk Radio.
I'm glad we can go live whenever we want. You know?
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
that so much better. So much better.
Yeah.
All right, man, you want to go?
I'm ready, Daddy.
All right, give me 1 second. Put the video up. All right. 3, 2.
What time is it? What time is it?
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to a very special Thursday edition of Ringside Reporter. I'm Eric Lorda, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And if you guys want to call in and ask some questions or just give your take, phone lines are open, 323-870-3857. And today, we're going to be talking about Andy Ruiz. You know, there's been a lot of talk. He had a big night last night. He was at the ESPYs, and we'll tell you more about that. But we may have an answer as to why the rematch with Anthony Joshua is taking so long to get signed. But first, ESPYs were last night, Beeb. Did you catch any of it?
I did not.
How dare you?
I'm so sorry.
There, you just dumped all over ESPN. You know, they do their best, Beeb, to put out a show so that you watch it and you didn't.
Well, I wasn't
going
to.
How did that make you feel?
I wasn't going to win any ESPY, so that's why I didn't watch it.
Wow, you are a selfish person.
I'm a hater. You know that.
Hater. But you drink that haterade.
That's right. I put a little bit in my freaking Coke Zero. That's what I do.
I watched my son's into all that stuff, so he likes sports and everything. He likes all kinds of sports, so he likes watching it and stuff. And Tracy Morgan was the MC, and he was awful. I mean, just really, really bad.
Wow,
really bad. I don't think he's that funny anyway, but he's just kind of like dumb. Like he's got like stupid sketches, and they don't like make a lot of sense. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan.
You either love him or hate him. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Certain guys just have it. Certain guys don't. You know, they either do it for you or they don't do it for you.
That's it. So, ESPYs were last night. Best boxer. There was a category for that. Went to Canelo Alvarez.
Wow.
Yeah. Lomachenko, Alexander Usyk, and Terrence Crawford were also nominated. To go to the right guy?
You can make an argument for probably everyone on that list. I hate to hedge, but if it was me, for me, it's Crawford. I'm a guy, when I look at talent, I like to look at versatility. I like to look at a guy, like you say this a lot. You say, well, this guy's got more ways to win. And when a guy, in order for a guy to have more ways to win, he has to be versatile. He has to have a lot of tools in the toolbox, correct? And that's not to disrespect Canelo in any way. I mean, Canelo is a phenomenal fighter, don't get me wrong. But when you look at a guy like Crawford, you know, I've seen him switch to southpaw effortlessly and just fight effortlessly out of that stance just as much as he can do it from the orthodox stance. I've seen him fight on the outside. I've seen him dog it out on the inside. I've seen him grind out fights. I've seen him box. I've seen him go try to take guys out, you know, aggressively early. He's got quick hands. He's got quick feet. Really can't find too many weaknesses in his game. Now, when you look at the other guys on the list, you could pick little things out. Like Canelo's not the fastest guy on his feet. Has a hard time with guys who are quick on their feet and who are movers. Usyk sometimes has defensive lapses. Who else is on that list? Lomachenko,
yeah.
He's had, you know, he lost to Salido, but, you know, he didn't look great against Linares. Linares. Yeah, Linares, I had some moments against him. And what was Lomachenko's last fight? His last fight, he didn't look great either. He was in there with a guy he was supposed to blow out. It didn't look phenomenal there. And
sometimes,
no, there was one fight he didn't look great in. I just can't remember exactly what it was. The guy that Tank Davis fought, he fought.
I know who you're I know exactly.
Puerto Rican kid. And I can't,
yeah,
it pisses
I can't
me off.
His name either.
Pisses me off that I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it took him a little while to get him out of there. And whereas Tank blew him
Pedraza.
Out. Pedraza, yeah. Jorge Pedraza. Thank you.
Yeah, so all right, so his last three. Let's look at his last three. He fought Jorge Linares, Jose Pedraza, and Anthony Crawla.
Yeah.
I thought he looked good in all of them. Well, you can make the exception. He didn't look good in the Linares fight. But listen, man, that Linares was a big guy. He was a tough guy. And he ended up knocking
him out. Loma went the distance with Pedraza, Eric. He didn't
knock him out. He did. You're right. He did. He went the distance.
Yeah. So, you know, and Pedraza had some moments there, too. I think Loma sometimes can be bullied a little bit. Like we see when the fights get physical with Loma, he's not as successful. Like if you smother him and if you kind of body him a little bit, he hasn't proven yet that he can deal with that style. You know, and I'm not saying he can't deal with that style, but he hasn't shown that he can really dominate that type of style. He has some difficulty with that style to some degree. And it's not that he can't overcome that style, but when I look at Crawford, like Crawford fights good guys, top guys, and he just beats them like effortlessly. So when you look at what Crawford's done, level of opposition, when you look at being able to unify the title, junior welterweight, being a champ at 130, 135, and 147, I just think that he's a total package. So it's Crawford for me all day.
What about Usyk? You know, his last three, you know, Maris Bladus,
like,
Mered Gassiev, and Tony Bellew. Those aren't it's,
like
you
I
know.
Said, Usyk can be touched. I mean, he's a great fighter as well. But to me, I think Crawford has shown the most greatness out of all of them, in my opinion. Like, I had Bellew up in that fight against Usyk before Usyk knocked him out. I thought Bellew was winning the fight. You know, and I think it remains to be seen what Usyk does at heavyweight. But he's a great fighter, don't get me wrong. But again, like he can be touched. He can be hit. So does have defensive lapses.
Jason in the chat just says that Linares has four KO losses. I guess referring to the Lomachenko-Linares fight. He has four knockout losses. Just marinate on this, too. Jorge Masvidal, who everybody's talking about now in the UFC, has 13 losses.
Yeah.
Go figure that one out. It doesn't mean anything. Means nothing.
No. Now, you can make, like I said, you can make an argument for everybody on that list. But
yeah, for sure.
If you really want to nitpick and dig down deep and really dissect everybody, when you look at Crawford, he has the least amount to criticize out of all of them. Not that the rest have a lot to criticize, but you could point to areas of improvement in those other guys. You really can't point to areas of improvement in Crawford's game at all. Can you? You really can't.
I've never seen Crawford in trouble. I've never seen him touched up.
And he's fought some pretty good guys. Decent guys.
What do you say? 9 world champions? 9 former world champions.
Now, when he fought Postal, and I'll never live this down because I picked Postal in that fight, and I'll never live it down.
I thought it was going to be a very close fight. I didn't know who to pick.
Well, that's the thing. You know, we have all these Monday morning quarterbacks love to come on here and dog me out because I picked Postal. But going in, everyone said it was a close. A lot of people did pick Crawford. Don't get me wrong, but they still said it was close to a 50-50 fight. But they still had Crawford. No one expected Crawford to blow Postal out of there.
No.
But everyone did after the fight.
Of course they did.
So,
Man, I thought Julius Ndongo, it was gonna be another one. It was a good fight. Ultimately, I went to Crawford because of the postal fight.
Yeah,
because
that one I didn't think was going to be close, but on paper it was. I just didn't like the style matchup for Ndongo. I thought I just saw Crawford as being a lot quicker, and Ndongo was very wide with the shots and sometimes off balance. I thought Crawford would pick him apart, to be honest.
I didn't
knock him up in three. I thought he'd probably stop maybe in seven or eight.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that at all. I expected like a decision or something like that, a close decision. Ultimately, I thought it would go that route, like I said, because I saw that Postal fight, and Postal built much like Ndongo was. So, yeah, I saw that and everything like that.
But
so,
Fight Doctor comes on, and no matter what we're talking about, once I start winning an argument with him, he loves to pull that Postal card out of his back pocket, and it's like the way he talks about it is as if, you know, it's incredulous for someone to pick Postal in that fight.
Postal had a very good jab. Postal had very good movement. Postal, prior to that fight, you know, I mean, Crawford was just the better fighter.
Enough. That Lucas Matisse, like, you know, it's like, I don't know, man.
And, somebody in the chat, let's see here. Is it Ratchet? Or Rascalot? I don't know.
Rascalot.
Excalibur, yeah.
Excalibur, yeah.
He says, you know, Post or Ndongo, oh, my God, you know. And again, man, Monday morning quarterbacks.
If
you watched Ndongo's fights, if you watched those fights, I'll tell you what, when he beat Troyanovsky.
He wasn't supposed to beat Troyanovsky. He beat him in the
jab.
That fight was in Russia.
And Troyanovsky looked like a murderer. He really did. He fought Cesar Cuenca twice, knocked him out both times. Just in case you don't know, and how valuable that undefeated record. Cuenca was what, 45-0 or 46-0 or something crazy. He was along those lines.
And if Postal was such trash, then why did Crawford fight him very, very cerebral? Why did he fight him in a very technical manner? Why didn't he just walk him down and blow him out of there?
Right.
Because he knew Postal was a good fighter, man.
Right.
He knew.
Yeah. Very good fighter. All right, let's talk about best MMA fighter. Went to Daniel Cormier, Pepper, Israel Adesanya, Henry Cejudo, and Amanda Nunez was also nominated. I would have loved to seen Amanda Nunez get it.
Oh, yeah. She's probably going to get it. She'll probably get it. Yeah. Well, now that she beat Holm and she beat – you know what? Yeah, she beat Cyber. Yeah, she should have got it.
She should have got it, right?
I would have gave it to her, too. I would have gave it to her if I had anything to do with it.
Henry Cejudo's another one, but not a lot of people like Cejudo, so I don't know.
No.
Everybody hates Cejudo. Everybody hates him. I don't know why.
But Nunez should get it next year.
Should have got it, period. End of story, man.
Unless she loses, you know, she won't. I don't think she will, but unless she does.
Yeah. Now, the best upset. Went to Andy Ruiz. How about that?
Of course.
Had to be, right? Andy Ruiz wins the SB for upset of the year. And he was up there. I guess there was an NHL. There was a college football game. And there was a couple of others in there. But he should have been clear winner right there.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, what else could you have possibly picked?
Nothing.
You know?
Nothing at all.
Not at all, man.
Nothing at all.
So, yeah, there you go. So, what's holding up this Joshua rematch, man?
You saw the video today.
Yeah.
That was very
interesting. The video, I mean, again, it's this guy, you know, he's on TMZ, and he's just asking questions. And Ruiz looks like he could care less, you know, but he's answering questions.
Yeah.
But one of the things that he said that was interesting, he said he will not take the rematch in the UK. He will only fight in Madison Square Garden or Mexico.
Yeah.
Let me tell you right now.
I think he said he'd fight in California too.
Yeah.
I think there was three options he gave. Fight's not going to Mexico, no.
No.
The fight's going to be in MSG.
Has to be,
And again, to sit there and say he has no say in what's going on in the rematch is bullshit.
No.
Because you know why? Because the zone wants it in New York too. So I just don't understand these people that I understand the rematch clause. I understand that, you know, there's clauses in the rematch clause. I get all of that, but there's other people involved in this. Okay, it's not as cut and dry. I said this several times that I'm beating a dead horse, but I'm going to keep beating that dead horse because you know what? The more I beat it, it still doesn't get through to some of you people out there. So I'm going to keep beating it like a pinata if I fucking have to until you fucking listen. And the proof's in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. When you hear Ruiz saying these things like, you know, we're still talking, we're still negotiating on some things. There's certain things that I want, blah, 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 blah. So, obviously there's got to be some credence to what he's saying, because if not, the rematch would already have been signed, sealed, and delivered right now, because everyone is fucking, salivating at the mouth right now if you're a venue to try to get this fight, right? So it's not going to be hard to shop this fight around to anybody. Like New York wants it, Vegas, everybody wants it. There's like a couple of countries that want this fight. It's not really hard to put this fight together. But the thing is this, is you still have to deal with Ruiz's side. The rematch still has to be negotiated, okay? When someone signs a rematch clause, they don't submit a second contract for the rematch already before the fucking first fight has even been completed yet. So it's one fight at a time. Oh, Eddie said that, this isn't the card to that. Okay, but you know what? Doesn't matter. Like, things still can be negotiated on. And that's why, that's the holdup with this thing. Now, supposedly this fight's going to be in November, from what I hear, or December, but it's most likely to be in November if it's going to be in New York. So we're in July right now. So they got August, September, October, November. So they got a couple of months. But, we should be hearing something soon, because you got to start a press tour. You got to start official training camps. You got to get everything situated. You got to get, all the shit printed out, the fight, the whole promotion. You're not just going to be able to snap your fingers and throw this fight together.
A lot of stuff goes into this, man.
A lot of stuff goes, exactly. So if they want a lolly, same thing with Canelo. Like, how the fuck are they going to throw together a fucking promotion now? Like, he's supposed to be fighting September 14th. We're in July right now. Okay? If they don't have an opponent announced by the end of the month, then
They're about two months out. Yeah,
They're gonna have no time to promote the fucking fight. And again, it's not like pay-per-view, because the promotion is more important in a pay-per-view type setting, because obviously you want to attract pay-per-view buys. Once again, this is locked in money. There's no sense of urgency for either guy because of the situation they have with the zone. Canelo and Joshua. So when you're already guaranteed huge money and you don't have to worry about a back end, Joshua's going to have to worry about a back end with Sky, but I don't know how that whole thing works out with Sky. So I'm not even going to try and pretend I do. But for the most part, he's getting paid by his own. Guaranteed money. Canelo's got guaranteed money. And Golden Boy knows this. And Eddie Hearn knows this. So there's no sense of urgency for these promoters, I guess. But the thing is this, you still want to put as much eyeballs onto both events as possible. And I know the zone is probably getting pissed off right now because it's going to affect their bottom line. It's going to affect their subscriptions if both of these fights are not promoted to the highest level they should be promoted at in order to attract the subscribers that are needed and that are wanted in the United States. So they're really fucking the one piece in all this who's getting fucked, the one side of this who's getting fucked is the zone. Because they're just sitting on their hands right now. They want to be able to stop promoting these fights, making commercials and doing what they can in order to attract subscribers. And the more both, well, the more Joshua's lollygagging or Eddie Hearn's lollygagging and Oscar De La Hoya's lollygagging, Canelo's lollygagging, whatever, the more lollygagging that goes on, the worse it's going to be for DAZN. And it's going to piss them off even more. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I would agree with that, man. I'll tell you what. I think that, like I said, man, you know, it's just it's one of those things that there is definitely a holdup. And for them to say that, you know, Eddie Hearn came out like 2 days after that fight and said, yeah, we just exercised our rematch clause. We're going to have a rematch. He thinks it's going to be in the UK. Then all of a sudden, no, it's not going to be in the UK. Now, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. They just, like, completely disregarded what Andy Ruiz has to say. And, hey, again, man, possession is 9/10 of the law, you know? He's now a big deal. Is he the A side in this fight? No, probably not. But he's the champ, so he does have some leverage.
But this is the thing. Eddie Hearn says it's not about the money. Okay, you can say it's not about the money for you, but you got other people involved in this. You don't think it's about the money for DAZN? You don't think it's about the money for Ruiz? You don't think Al Heyman wants to get Andy Ruiz the best deal he can get? So, you know, in the total grand scheme of things, it is about the fucking money, regardless of what he says, because there's so many other moving parts involved in this besides Eddie Hearn. So he wants to sit there and say, well, it's not about the money. So this is the contradictory remarks, like the whole thing with dealing with Deontay Wilder. I'm not trying to rehash that because I'm just going to make a brief, quick point on that, and then I'm going to put that one to bed. But the whole thing of, oh, yeah, the fight with Wilder would be more money in America, but not that much more. And now he's realizing, he's like saying it would only be $10 million more. Like $10 million isn't a lot of money.
Chump change.
Yeah, chump change. So, like, you're a promoter, okay? And you say you work for Anthony Joshua. So let me ask you this. If you work for somebody and, you know, they're putting their career in your hands, don't you have the fiduciary responsibility to make that person the most money that you can?
Absolutely you do.
So you're going to sit there and turn around
That's
and say –
That's your job.
Exactly.
That's your job. As a manager,
exactly.
Promoter, that is your job to
so,
get that guy paid.
So why sit there and say it's not about the money when it is about the money? It's just ridiculous. And I don't think DAZN wants to hear that it's not about the money. And I don't think Andrew Ruiz wants to hear that it's not about the money either.
You know what's funny? I hate to cut you off here. You know what's funny?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, I'm done.
This is the like the shtick of a lot of fighters now. Triple G. Oh, it's not about the money. It's about my legacy. All of a sudden, now he's a businessman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Joshua. Well, I'd rather fight in England. I don't want to come to the U.S. They deserve the fight over there. Yeah, until it's dollars. Now you want to come here and fight for the title. You don't want the fight back in England. You want to come here and fight for the title now. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I don't know. Chandler M. in the chat. I think it's Chandler M. Champ Life. Says they better pay Ruiz at least $15 million. $15 million? $15 million? Are you crazy? Are you crazy? That is, you think about this. Let this sink in for a minute.
I know where you're gonna go.
You know exactly where I'm going.
Take it there, Daddy.
Buster Douglas.
You got it. You got it.
Mike Tyson in the 90s. His next defense against Evander Holyfield, $24 million.
25.
Somewhere along those lines, $25 million.
25.
That's what he got. 25. That's what he got for his next title defense. 25. That was back in the 90s.
Not for nothing.
Take inflation. It's at least, what, 48 we figured out the other day?
48.
$48 million. $48 million. And everybody's, this is, 15. No, son.
20 at least.
No, at least. At the very least, man.
I think that's what Michael Moore got when he fought George Foreman in his first defense. I think he got like $20 million or something like that, too. Yeah.
Jason in the chat says, I have no business sense. Okay. Okay. No business sense. No, asking for $15 million is no business sense. Don't be an idiot. Metru said, that's insane. Did he blow it all? I don't know, man.
No, Buster Douglas.
Speaking of Buster Douglas.
No, he still got his money.
He lives. I know he bought like a ranch or whatever, but
you haven't heard one bad story about Buster Douglas ever since he retired. Not one. Like, you hear guys,
a GoFundMe page on him. You know?
No, you hear guys like no disrespect. We've heard of Evander Holyfield had money problems.
Had his whole house on GoFundMe. Remember that?
Yeah. Like, these guys, you hear about it when someone loses their money, because, you know, everyone's a fucking hater in this world. So if someone's like knocked off their pedestal and they fell off the top of the mountain, you know someone's going to say something about it. And no one's ever said shit about Buster Douglas losing his
title town. Title town. Yeah, I mean, I know he bought a ranch or whatever and stuff like that, but he doesn't like. He's not, you know, at least he wasn't back in the day, like a big partier. You didn't hear like a lot of stories about him.
He's a guy that enjoys his family and the simple things in life. So that's what it is.
He doesn't have
an Instagram with 40 Rolex watches and fucking
the big Chanel bag,
silver cloud Rolls Royces and shit and Ferraris and fucking Lamborghini. You don't see shit like that, you know?
No. He wasn't buying that. I mean, he might have bought one or two sports cars, maybe. Maybe, you know.
You know, even if I was rich, I'd probably have like a nice sedan, and I don't even think I'd buy a sports car, man, because you can't enjoy it. What the fuck can you do? Like, you can't even really drive it and enjoy it, because you can't fucking drive fast. You're gonna get a ticket. Last time I had a sports car when I was young, I used to get fucking tickets up the ass, man.
Yeah. I mean, they look for that stuff.
Yeah.
What am I going to drive, a Ferrari down the street? You know what I mean? I'd
probably get a Rolex Presidential, though. I'd get one Rolex Presidential.
Oh, you're talking about the watch?
Watch, because I like watches. I get one nice watch. I get like one Rolex Presidential. I wouldn't get any other jewelry. And I'd get probably like two cars. I'd have like a daily driver, like a fucking SUV. Then I'd probably get like a BMW M5. I like the 5 series. I get like an M5. I like BMWs for some reason. I had a 325 when I was younger, but I like the fives. That's what I would get.
I wouldn't get like a Tesla. Like, I would get like one of the Teslas or whatever.
I love you.
Because my electric cars, you know, because I got a Prius, you know, so it's like.
Yeah. George Foreman got 50. Yeah, he's got a big car collection, George Foreman. He got like 50 cars. That's right.
Yeah, but you know what? That Foreman grill, like you said, man, in there. Oh. He said, paid for by the Foreman grill. Yeah, right.
He'll be paid by that Foreman grill for the rest of his fucking life till he dies.
Oh, it's ridiculous, right? He made more money on that than he did ever boxing.
But one thing I would do too, I'd get a nice house, but I'd put like a gym in my basement. I'd love to have a gym in my house.
I'd put a basketball court like Roy Jones did in his house.
Oh, for real? No, I'd put a gym.
Sweet.
I don't like pool. I wouldn't get a pool. I don't like pools. You know what I'd get though?
Right.
I get like a fucking, I'd have like a jacuzzi room, because I love fucking like a jacuzzi, just sit in a fucking tub. Oh my God.
They're awesome. We got one upstairs, man. It's great.
Oh, you got one? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Put some Epsom salt in there for the Biebs joints. Oh my God.
The Biebs joints.
The Biebs got bad joints, man.
I would have like one of those big in-ground pools. Not a saltwater pool though, because I can't wear my watch.
Yeah,
anymore, I'm saying.
I don't like pools. I'm not really a big swimmer guy.
Yeah. JC in the chat said I would get a bang bus. What's wrong with that?
That's fucking fun. I love that. That's funny. I love where these shows go, man. These shows are off on it. They have these shows that have a life of their own.
Right down a rabbit hole. All right, Jason's online. He's begging me to bring him in. So he's got a saltwater pool. He's a moron.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, sure you do, buddy. He's got in the apartment complex.
I got a helicopter on the roof.
I didn't know the shelter had saltwater pools.
Close to the MDC pool down the street.
I didn't know the Y put saltwater in their pools.
I love it. I fucking love it. Fucking scrub.
See you in Ohio. Those neighbors in Ohio are too shitty for salt water pools. Come on now.
Probably getting a fucking gurgle coming in his mouth. Jesus Christ.
Dave, what is this, fantasy hour you're dreaming about? You're dreaming about a presidential
Rolex?
Yeah,
why don't you finish up? Why don't you finish up before you call?
Why don't you finish the happy ending, man, before you come on?
What?
Wiping it off his face.
Babe, what is this, fantasy hour? You're dreaming about a presidential rollie? Come on now.
I love presidential rollie. Probably not, man.
Those
I could buy one if I wanted to, but I wouldn't.
I've been looking at a lot of vintage watches,
sure,
thinking
man.
About something to buy. But, yeah, man.
How about a Timex? That's about your speed.
I got a Hublot. I don't have a Timex, but what do you say?
Okay.
Did you see George Foreman's car collection?
Right.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen
it. You guys seen the car collection?
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's
beautiful.
On YouTube. That Graham Bensinger guy went to his house and showed it. There's like fucking 50 cars, like classics. A badass collection.
I think
check
he
it
has
out.
His
but,
son.
Dude,
he has his son.
Yeah.
His
son
take care of it, too.
George Foreman the Fourth or something. That was his name.
Yeah.
He said they have 6 sons and all of them are named George. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then he's got a
his
daughter.
Daughters are like Georgette and Georgina. Yeah, they're all named George.
That's some fucking ego, isn't it? That's some ego right there. Don't give anybody
they all have
a
like
different
nicknames.
Name.
I think they all have nicknames or whatever too. So he I don't think he ever calls them by George.
Eric, I thought you when you said a $15 million, you were like, are you crazy? I thought you were saying that's too high, but that is right. I mean, Heyman.
Totally
one thing
right.
that everybody says
I'm
about
here.
Heyman is that he's a toughish.
Top knowledge.
Yeah, I mean. That's what everybody says Heyman's a toughish negotiator. That's what Tom Loeffler said, because that's why GGG and Jacobs took so long, because he got Jacobs like $2.4 million or something. That was the biggest purse any GGG opponent got, and they had to raise the ticket prices. So I'm guessing that's where this is headed. He's probably going to get Andy $15-20 million. That's why it's taking long, and that's why Eddie's been missing for
True.
The past 3 weeks. You haven't seen him anywhere. That guy's gone missing.
He's trying to put the money together. He's trying to pay Beep. He's trying to put the money together to make the fight.
I put a missing meal carton with Eddie's face on YouTube. I mean, on Twitter, it should have went wild. It just got like thousands of retweets already. It's going wild. It's like spraying. And Eddie, that's why Eddie blocked me.
He blocked you too?
Yeah.
He never blocks anybody. I went at it with him one day. I wasn't disrespectful, but we went at it pretty hard.
I posted a missing poster. Beeb, I put his face on a fucking milk carton and said, missing. Have you seen me?
Oh, that's hilarious, though. That's good.
I'm sure, though, that wasn't the only thing. I'm sure that did not get him blocked.
Yeah, but I've said so many things to him over the months. Like, he never responds, but I mean,
Must have said something about his family, about his fucking sexuality.
Right.
No, I don't talk about his family. I just talk about the fucking Al Heyman fucking owning the negotiation. I told Eddie, Al will call you and let you know when they have a location.
You know what's crazy? He can say whatever he wants. Oh, I root for everybody. I don't want anyone to fail. But he's you can tell he's jealous of Al Heyman. He's fucking jealous of Heyman.
When he talks about him,
Heyman's
like, oh, Heyman is a really, Heyman's a really good manipulator. You know, he tells these guys, I don't know how he convinces them. Like he's so envious of him because he can't understand how many stars Heyman has. I mean, if you look at it, if you go down the list of champions, like Heyman has fucking like 13 champions, like Leo Santa Cruz, J-Rock, fucking Harrison, Charlo's, Tank, Mikey, fucking Wilder, Danny, Thurman. Like, nobody has that much star power in the boxing world. That's why they all are kind of envious, you know?
But not to interrupt you, but let me make this one point, and I'm sure you remember this. Eddie made a play for a lot of Heyman fighters, and they all said no to him. And he's pissed because he thinks Heyman told him to say no. And that's why I think that kind of stuck in his craw a little bit, in my opinion.
Well, of course he told him no. Of course he told him to say no.
No,
what do you think he's going to say? Yeah, go over there, go to my competition.
No, but here's the thing, Eric. I understand that he doesn't want, you know, it's PBC, he's got his brand and everything. But he's still an advisor. And, you know, the thing about Eddie is he's still – like, he's crazy to think that, okay, this guy's an advisor, so he, of course, you know, he won't mind his fighter signing with me because I'm a promoter. There's no conflict of interest there. But what Eddie feels to realize is, he's still a competitor because of the PBC brand. So.
When the DAZN launch happened, that's all he said all during those fucking 30 interviews he did on that rooftop with the DAZN staff. He's like, oh, I'm looking to sign Broner, I'm looking to sign Wilder, I'm looking to sign Danny. Like, he just kept naming PBC guys, and some of the media were
all
laughing. They're like, and some of the media guys are laughing. They're like, those are Haven guys. They're like, oh, he's an advisor, he can't stop them. Like, he's so fucking naive. Maybe he just tries to put that out there to make himself look bigger or something, like, oh, I'm too big, they can't fucking turn me down or some shit. You know, I'm on a pedestal.
Contracts go too. I mean, are they on a, you know, you don't know. I mean, a lot of them could be, maybe they're on fight by fights and stuff. And again, man, Heyman's just a manager. So who knows how much
they're
wrapped
not
up
on
with
fight
him.
By fight. They have advisory contracts with Heyman Sports. So he's responsible for all your business and all that shit for like 3 or 4 fights. And if he gets you a title fight during that time, your contract extends. It's just like a promoter's contract. He just doesn't like to use that fucking title because it kind of puts you in a box. He can't really help you with managing things. You know, if you're a promoter, you're supposed to have a separate manager, but he likes to give you the advice of the manager and advisor. He doesn't want to be called a promoter, and I don't know why people get jealous of that. I mean, that's his fucking choice. People at fucking Wall Street,
I think it's smart.
Exploit loopholes every day. You know? I mean, yeah,
I think
it's smart. It's a less liability too. You can't for some. People usually sue promoters. What are you going to sue a fucking advisor? I don't think so. So it's kind of smart that way too. You know, it's just less liability.
What do you want, a Metro wireless phone?
No, like I'm in the basement right now. I just have bad service.
Sound awful.
Huh? That's why I have bad service. Hold on.
When you're going to call into a show.
I thought
relax,
you usually come upstairs
dude,
and make your calls at your parents'
house.
That's
like jumping. That's like jumping
shut
on
up.
The subway. Oh, you're gonna call
shut up. I was just cleaning the pool, man. I was just cleaning the pool, taking some leaves out. Relax. But that's why he hired TG Promotions.
Right.
So he can just give him like 50K.
It's funny because I mean, you should have better reception outside then, right?
Relax, dude. That's why he hires TGB Promotions to pay him like 50K a show. That's like the cheapest thing to do, you know, instead of hiring a staff.
Yeah.
That's why he does that. It's a smart thing to do. What do you guys think about Daniel Dubois and Gorman? That's the best fight in England, and Eddie has no good fight coming up. Loma versus fucking Campbell is like a slaughter. That's not a fucking competitive fight.
I tell you what, thanks for bringing that up, because Saturday we're going to do a fight cast on that, and it should be around 5, no, Beeb? Probably around
make sure,
there.
Make sure
what
you...
What time does the card start?
I would imagine like 10 o'clock their time.
So
2 o'clock our time. Yeah, 2 o'clock our time. So that would be 8 o'clock their time or something?
Yeah, the main event will probably go off at about 5:30.
I think so.
Yeah, 5:36.
But we're gonna do the Jennings fight too, right? We're gonna do the Jennings fights on that
fight
too. Right?
Yes, him and Joe Joyce, yeah.
Make sure you go on BT Sport Boxing and YouTube channel and watch the Face Off. They did a free Face Off video, so you can watch that too.
Oh, they did? Okay,
I like the UK Face Off. Those are pretty good.
Did you guys watch any of the face-off for Manny Thurman or Fight Camp or Portrait of a Fighter with Caleb? Did you catch any, Lorda? They've been going on
I watched the first Fight Camp. I want to go back and watch some of the other ones. Well, how many have there been so far? 2, right?
Yeah, they go on every Sunday. They're supposed to be – but why don't you guys get the Fox Sports Go
the
app if you
have
Fox at home? Yeah, this Sunday. But get the Fox Sports Go app, man. It's free. Get the Fox Sports Go app. It's free. You can just watch it on your phone.
Yeah, I'll probably do
that.
Do you
have
too.
That, Eric? Eric, you have it?
Fox Sports
Go?
What's that? Yeah,
the
man.
The free Fox
stuff.
App.
I got all the
fans.
Got all.
No, the app. The app, dude.
Yeah.
It's like the Showtime app.
It.
Yeah, you should use that. You can watch that show.
Yeah, I'll download it.
Also, Jamal James, dude, they did a countdown on him. Like, they
friend
went to
the
fucking
show.
Minnesota. Showed his,
friend
yeah,
of the show, Jamal
they showed his
James.
Family life and all that. He's, like, helping a lot of young kids from the city and stuff. Dude, they even went to Tijuana to fucking Antonio DeMarco's gym. That's kind of cool. You know, the Fox is going to all these kids' hometowns and fucking promoting them. It kind of reminds me of Sky Sports how they used to do it.
He's got a
What'd
gym?
You say?
He's got a gym, DeMarco?
Yeah, I guess.
No, it's the one he trains out of.
Yeah, in Tijuana. Yeah, so it's kind of cool.
Oh, okay.
But
he said it was his gym, so he might be lying.
I don't know what he's talking about.
What's his name? Caleb Truax and Pichala rematch just got signed. That's happening.
What's up with your boy Tank? Who's he fighting next?
Nunes, mandatory, dude. Homecoming.
Is that right? Yeah,
he's fighting a Krolla, or he's fighting a Krolla and Schwarz type guy, you know? Krolla and Schwarz type guy, killer. Hall of Fame worthy, you know? I mean, fucking Joe Tessitore is going to be busting nuts. Shades of Ali.
I can't say much. Teofimo's doing the same thing. He's fighting some guy for
why doesn't Teofimo fight Pedraza? I mean, Tank knocked Pedraza out. Why doesn't Teofimo fight his leftovers? I mean, Loma went 12 with him. That would be
The guy he's fighting is a mandatory. It's like a mandatory IBF eliminator.
IBF has the worst mandatories, like Ocampo, like Spence had week as well. This is,
it's terrible.
You know?
They're the worst ranking. Their ranking system is horrible.
It's awful.
But at least Spence is fighting fucking Porter now, and who's Crawford fighting? Egas, the guy that lost to Ray Robinson. You know, that's fucked up.
Horrible. That's a horrible fight. God, that's a terrible fight. And, Kavaluskis or whatever his name is. Yeah, he's going to fight Terrence Crawford. He's most likely going to fight Terrence Crawford. That's an awful fight.
That's bad.
Dude, you guys are killing Terrence Crawford right now. I mean, it's like, dude, you guys, top ranked man, you need to get on the ball, man, and, like, give him some people.
They're destroying that guy's career, man.
They really are.
I don't know
Jason
what to say.
Jason just dropped.
I must not have paid the phone bill.
It was the phone.
Yeah.
The phone, you heard him. He was like,
sound like he's gargling on something that I don't want to say, but.
he said he rolled over his guy, hung up the phone on him.
Oh, my God. It's horrible.
I want his attention on me now.
Yeah. That's sick. Sick individual.
Completely messed up, son.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, back to Ruiz for a minute here. Is this actually what's holding up the fight, in your opinion? I mean, do you think that the location though?
I think it's the money.
I think it's money. I think Andy Ruiz is wise to keep his, you know, keep quiet on that, but it's got to be the money, right? I mean, if they paid him $50 million, he's going to England.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This fight's going to be in New York, man. I have no doubt about it. I have no doubt about it.
Yeah,
I know this is going to be in New York.
It has to be. That's where the money is.
Yeah.
They're going to make more money there than they will in England, because that rematch is going to be huge.
But he said we're still working on a couple things. In that interview. So we're still working on a couple of things. So there's shit still going on behind the fucking scenes.
Yeah. Manny Gutierrez says Jason was Bobby Frapples.
Bobby was something else too, man.
Oh, that's messed up, man.
Nasty motherfucker that he is.
Yeah, so, man, we're going to be live on Saturday for that Gorman fight. I'm looking forward to that too. I like Dubois a lot.
And the Jennings fight on the card, right?
Yeah, the Joe Joyce and what's his face?
Oh, so that's the main event, right? Which one's the main event? Is it Joe Joyce the
Gorman.
Main event?
No, Gorman. Gorman's the main
event.
Joe Joyce and Jennings.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. And that's going to be ESPN Plus?
I think so.
I hope so.
Is that a DAZN? It's on one of them.
What's his name there?
Dubois is a Frank Warren, right?
Yeah, so that's going to be
ESPN Plus.
ESPN Plus.
That's a solid. It's a solid card, really, from top to bottom too. I mean, there's a lot of good fights on there. A lot of solid fights. We're going to do MetaTruth. This says live commentary. Yeah, we'll do live commentary for Gorman and Dubois. We'll also do live commentary for Joe Joyce fight too.
Yeah.
So,
I'm looking forward to that fight.
Absolutely, man. Young Merv, the Cutman, salute. MetaTruth, salute. Manny Gatillo, salute. TTUK, salute. Jason, salute. Everybody in the chat, man. JC, Champ Life, Gucci Kid, Mario G, salute. Let's see, Joe Lopez, salute. How about that? Everybody out there, I know I missed a bunch of you guys, but Dale and Chi-Town, salute. So, Chandler M, salute. So, if I missed you, you know, just disregard it.
I'm sorry if we missed you.
Yeah, I don't want to miss anybody. Beeb doesn't care if he misses anybody, you know. But
I love everybody in the chat.
That's why everybody's got wrenches.
That's right. I took the fucking toolbox from the cellar, and I just dumped it in the chat. Now we can get wrenches.
I probably
have like the biggest wrench squad out of any. We probably have the biggest wrench squad out of any channel.
I'm gonna make a meme with your face on it and like put your face on Oprah's body, where she was like, "You get a wrench, you get a wrench, you get a wrench, you get a wrench."
Or maybe like it'd be like Magneto, have like a butt, but we have a whole bunch of wrenches floating in the air.
That's right.
Like,
we need to get the Haymanites to make us one of those.
Yeah,
they do the best. They always do the best memes. Or Ohio Runs Boxing has done some pretty good memes too.
Yeah. That guy Jim does stuff like that. Maybe I'll have him do it.
Who?
That guy Jim.
Oh, Jim? Yeah, he's – yeah, that'd be pretty cool. That'd be real cool. So yeah, man, that fight's coming up this Saturday. Also, too, join us on Sunday. We got our live show at 7 o'clock as usual. We will have – let's see here. Our Pacquiao Thurman preview. Are we going to do a live cast for that one?
Yeah. I want to do a live cast for that one.
Yeah, I was on the fence about it because a lot of people are going to get it. You know what I mean?
But I don't know, man. I still like to do it, though.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if a lot of people are going to get it. I'm not sure if all the UK guys will get it.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Should we do a live cast for the Pacquiao-Thurman fight?
Yes, please.
Metatruth just says yes, please. There you go. All right.
You know what it's like, too? Even if everyone does get it, people still tune in and we all watch together.
Yeah.
So it's like we're all in the same fucking living room.
I think that's the cool part about it. Yeah, that's the cool part about it.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that is cool. Thank you, Many Truth.
He says he mutes and he listens to us instead of the commentary.
Oh, that's cool.
That's awesome. Appreciate that. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it is nice. I mean, because like you said, I mean, it's like if all of us got together in the living room or whatever and watched the fight, you know what I mean? And that's what's kind of cool about it, you know, that people may be watching the fight, but they're watching it with us too. Or if you did watch the fight, you'd go back and see our reactions too. And, you know, that kind of thing, or listen to how we called the fight, you know, or who we thought was winning at the time and stuff like that. So yeah. All right. Yeah. That sounds good.
Share each other's scorecards and stuff. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Let's see. Also, too, we should have a rematch with you and Nacho on Beat the Beeb this weekend.
Yeah.
On Sunday, a rematch.
Yeah. He had me on the ropes, man.
I think Nacho beat you. I'm just saying. I thought he won, but
little backdoor shenanigans, but we won't say anything.
Little backdoor shenanigans.
I mean, I don't want Nacho to win cheap like that. I mean, if he gets a clean victory, I mean, I want to hand him the belt. I want to hand him the belt with honor. I don't want to, you know, take the belt out of the gutter and
would
give
that
it
be possible?
Yeah, of course it will. Of course it will.
You won't go down kicking and screaming?
Never. No.
Because that seems like why we're having a rematch, because you were kicking and screaming.
Just saying. I mean, Nacho didn't want to win that way. He was the first guy to say, I don't want to win like that. So I wanted to back him up, you know?
Yeah. You wanted to back him up?
I want him to feel good about himself. I don't want him to have that hanging over his head, you know?
Of course not. With me, I don't care how I win. I don't care how I win.
Yeah, you're the type of guy. You're the type of guy. That, you know, you come from behind with the freaking brass knuckles and you knock the guy out and wrestle him. That's your style. Nacho's not like that.
It's when a ref's not
You're like Jesse Ventura. Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat. And that's what you did.
You're not cheating, you're not trying.
That's right. That's your mantra.
Pretty much.
Right.
I say it over and over again before I go to sleep.
I used to love that with Jesse Ventura. He used to love when he used to say that shit. McMahon, win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat.
That's right. What was that? Eddie Guerrero, Manny Gatillo said, I lie, I cheat, I steal. It wasn't that Eddie Guerrero's thing?
I think so.
Yeah. Guerrero, your boy.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah.
He left us too young.
Way too young. Way too young. Nuts, man. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. Remember, like I said, tune in on Sunday, and we got a packed show on Sunday. We got some news for you on Sunday also. So we had some show changes coming up, so just stay tuned, and we'll talk about them on Sunday.
Have a great night, everybody. Aslam alaikum.
There you go.